Okay, so now I want to continue on page 78. So now I want to talk about separating between meat and dairy foods, not the waiting time per se. Oh, but one thing I actually did want to note, because we discussed a little bit last week, that you need to rinse your mouth and you need to have kinoach and adach. You have to wipe out your mouth and rinse it between dairy, between cheese and meat. And so the question was there a certain point where you don't have to, you know, let's say it's been 3 hours, like you still have to, since you had cheese, you still have to rinse and wipe your mouth out. So I asked Rabbi Weider what he thought, and he said, and I tried looking the body of Shulchan myself, but he didn't find anything in the posting that discussed it. But we both seem to agree that once an hour has passed, you probably don't even need to wipe or rinse your mouth. But within an hour between cheese and meat, one should rinse their mouth.
Didn't you say that?
It just said, well, for hard cheese, you really have to wait. But if you just eat regular cheese, so it just said to rinse and wipe your mouth. But the question is, like,
it didn't say that they post them saying like 1 hour.
No. Between meat and dairy, some posting said that, well, we don't follow that, but when it came between cheese and meat, it just said you need to wipe and rinse, but didn't say like how, you know, didn't say that once you're past this point, you don't even have to do that. I think an hour is reasonable. Yeah.
This is a general rule for everyone, but some people might retain a taste or something, then they really should.
So Rabbi Weider pointed that out, right? If you still have a taste, then obviously you should, but if you don't have a taste, then there's no reason after an hour to do it, I don't think. Okay. So now I want to focus on separating between the food themselves, the food items themselves. What do we have to do here? So the Mishnah Chulin, this is source 19 on page 78, says, so one can put meat and cheese in the same cloth, but they shouldn't touch one another. Okay, so I'm trying to like imagine, like, you put something, you know, maybe it's like a, you know, like a larger, you know, cloth, it would seem like that's kind of risky, like what happens if you pick it up and kind of roll around. But
well,
the theory here is that if they don't touch each other, and I think we're going to assume here that also that they're cold, probably makes it a little bit better. Right. In fact, the Gemara does assume that. We'll see in a second. So as long as they don't touch, it's not an issue. So the Gemara says on this in source 20, V'chino ge'a zeba ze'a mai havi. What difference does it make if they touch each other even? Because tzonin b'tzonin hu. Tzonin is the word that halakha often uses to talk about cold items with food. Right. So in modern Hebrew, we say, you know, when it's cold outside, it's kar. But right, we often say kar, but in halacha, the word for cold is zonin. So if they're touching each other, so what? So they're cold. So amar bai nehita klipa lo bai hadacha mi lo bai. So with cold foods, you wouldn't have to like peel off the parts that come in contact, but you would have to rinse them. So if a piece of deli comes in contact with a piece of cheese, they're both cold. So according to this Gemara, you would want to rinse them off. So you could put the deli and the cheese in the same cloth as long as they don't touch each other. And just in general, if they happen to touch each other, you learn from this Gemara that you have to rinse them off.
This is assuming they're unwrapped. When you go to the grocery store,
we're talking about literally direct touching.
Yes. They're even careful at the store of putting them in separate bags. Because
okay, right, so
and it's covered, you know.
Right, yeah. So we're going to talk about like containers and the like, but this is a general principle, yeah?
I was going to ask that question. What if you're in a grocery store and you buy, you know, a box of, you know, cheese all wrapped up and then, you know, jelly
and
meat.
And you put in the same shopping cart and, so it should not... shouldn't be a problem again because they're not really coming in contact.
But it happens with milk when it leaks from the bottom, the container.
So right, so there maybe you do have to be careful. So we'll continue to explore this and the questions come up, we'll continue to address them. But so far I think, you know, when here we're talking about literally coming in contact. So Shulchan Aruch says basar vina shenagu zebazeh mutarin. The cheese and meat that come in contact are permissible. El shetzarich ledeach makom negiatan, but should rinse them off where they came in contact. Moter rotzor tam in pachar achad. You can put them in cloth. Lo chashin an shema yiklu zebeze. You don't have to worry that they're going to come in contact. So the note here is not brought as a source, but the note here said, quotes the Shach in the name of the Bach, two commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah respectively, that even when dry foods touch, if they're dry when they touch, they really don't require rinsing. So cold, dry food, not really going to be a problem. Right? So that should, you know, when it comes to, let's say you're buying cheese and deli in the grocery store, they're separate containers, they're dry, they're cold, you're good.
I think they're talking about hard cheese. Because cottage cheese have, you know, liquid.
Right. Well, so liquid, you know, so something liquid comes in contact, you know, cheese liquid comes in contact with meat, so you definitely have to rinse them. Okay. So furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, source 22, page 79, Kol ha-basar asar levash v'chala, right, we're not allowed to cook dairy meat together. The asar la'alot im hakvina ala shofan. They're also not allowed to put cheese and meat even on the same table. So you can put fish and dairy on the same table, but you can't put meat and dairy on the same table. Right now, we're talking specifically about meat. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Beit Shammai says that you can put chicken and cheese on the same table. You're not allowed to eat it together, but they can go on the same table. Beho comes and says, "Lo olah ve'lo nechal." Can't go on the same table, and certainly can't eat it. What's a little bit surprising here? Rabbi Yossi, "Zemi kulei Beit Shammai mechomer Beit Hillel." This is one place where Beit Hillel are a little more strict, and Beit Shammai are a little more lenient. So that's what we have here, that cheese and meat should not go on the same table, and according to Beit Hillel, that includes even chicken. And Mishnah goes on to say that we're talking about the table where you're eating, because the concern, as we're going to see, is eating it together. But if you're, let's say, if you're arranging things, so, you know, I don't know, you're putting together, you know, so, let's say two people are packing lunch for, you know, you're going out for the day and you're packing lunch, and someone's making a cheese sandwich and someone's making a deli sandwich, so that's not a problem. So Shulchan Aruch in source 23 comes and says, "Afilu basar chaya ve'of asar laloto al shulchan she'ochal ladvina shelo yavo la'ocham yam." Shulchan Aruch tells us that the concern is that if I put meat and cheese on the same table, then I might come to eat them together. But if I'm just arranging them, again, you know, somebody, you know, going out for the day and someone's having a deli sandwich and someone's having a cheese sandwich, so that you're allowed to put on the same table.
It depends what the table is. The table is for eating. Two guys might be sitting down eating. That's different.
Exactly.
Could you repeat what whoever the person who's there says something?
Yeah, so Simcoe was just confirming, right, that we're talking about, like, you know, people sitting down to eat together. So that's when you can't put meat and dairy on the same table.
We have that sometimes with children. They're having a dairy or something, and then we're having a meat meal. It comes up a lot.
Right. Okay. So we'll talk about what to do in that case. So let's say, simply let us into the case here. So on page 80, so the Mishnah talks about what happens. You have two people who are they're unacquainted guests eating together. So, and yes, they have dairy and meat at the same table. So, example I was thinking of, so Mir Tashem Thursday morning, I'm driving down to Maryland for Thanksgiving, and it's not going to be the case here, but, you know, there are times where you do the drive and you know, there's rest stops. You know, in Delaware, there's a really nice new rest stop. So you sit at a table and, you know, let's say you're sitting, you know, it's a six-person table. So person sits on one end, another person sits on another end, and, you know, they're probably having trafe, but you have two people eating at the same table. They're eating different food. So what's the halacha here? So the Mishnah tells us, source 25, so two people who don't know each other, they're guests in a hotel, so they can eat dairy and meat at one table, and you don't have to be concerned. Don't be concerned. So there's a big implication here that you're talking about Aksanayin. You're talking about people who don't know each other, don't seem to have any relationship. The Gemara says, in fact, Amar Rav Kanan Bar Ami, Amar Shmuel, in source 26, Loshanu Ela She'in Makirin Zeh Et Zeh. This is only applicable when the two people don't know each other. Ava Makirin Zeh Et Zeh Asur. But if you have two people who know each other and they're and they're going to, and one's going to eat meat and one's going to eat dairy, so they cannot sit at the same table.
That's if you're only going to eat their food. Sometimes you're sitting with a coworker in the lunchroom and he's not eating kosher food. You know you're not going to eat it.
Okay, right. What? Well, right. So I think, right. So that's an interesting question. What's the line between, like, I totally don't know that person versus, like, I know that person, but, like, I don't really, like, associate with them. And, okay. Fair question. I think we'll have a solution in a moment, but it's a good question. Yeah.
Okay. Lauren,
did you have a question? Or someone have a question?
I was going to ask if you put a tablecloth down, you know, on one side for Fleishik and a different tablecloth on the other side for Milchik.
Okay, good. Okay.
That? That's the question.
We'll see that momentarily. Good question. Okay. So, the Breita, the Gemara then quotes a Breita, which comes from the time period of the Mishnah. Quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Shnei achsanim nitarchu lefundak echad." The two guests who are staying at one inn, and one's coming from the north, and one's coming from the south. They don't know each other. This is having meat, and this is having dairy. It's having cheese. Okan ashol panachad zeb baser v'zegvina. They push you not to worry. Below us, the only time it's prohibited is betvisa achad, when you're eating from one parcel. So betvisa achad zakadanja. What? So you mean that they're going to eat from one parcel? Of course, they can't do that. You can't eat together when you would. It's as if you would eat from one parcel. Meaning, Steintels explains when the diners are somewhat acquainted with each other, since neither would mind if the other ate from their food. That's a concern that comes up. Meaning, so if I'm at the same table as Klein Yankel, I've never met him before, so I'm not going to be like, hey, can I have some of that? And took my hand on it. Wouldn't even ask that question, because that'd be a little bit impolite. But you know each other a little bit, and somebody's having, you know, those cheese fries that look really good. You might say, you know, hey, can I try some of those? But even if you know each other a little bit, maybe you'd be concerned. So in Herb's case, where the guy's not Jewish, not keeping kosher, why not? So you definitely don't have that concern. But when there's some possibility that somebody would, you know, that you guys would share your food, so that would be an issue.
You know, but there's one thing where the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshim were written before this was invented. But if you know what I'm talking about, it's parva stuff. Parva cheese looks like cheese. And we once had that in the rest, I think Kosher Delight. They served cheeseburgers. It was immediately discontinued.
Right. Okay. So that becomes a Mar Zion issue. And so here we're talking about real cases of Busser Brickwell. When it comes to the parf stuff, so I think there is something in our posting about almond milk or something like that. So I think there you have to have some, you know, you would have to have something indicating that, like, this
right.
is.
Yeah, you have to
make it very clear what.
I have a question because, like, on my dining room table, I mean, it's just me eating. So I have part of the table that I have for Fleishik, and then the total opposite catty corner part, I reserve that for dairy. So should I not be doing that?
Yeah, are there totally separate sides of the table?
Yes. But you don't have both foods out at the same time.
Right. Well, the question that comes up there, and this is something we'll get to either later today or might possibly be next week, is the question comes up even with tablecloths and the like, same thing with the table. So that's at the very end of this. That comes at the very end of this part of the sheet. So also a good question. We'll arrive there. So Tosfos on source 27, page 81, explains that if you have something that separates. So then you don't have the problem of one parcel. Meaning, so he says, Lefichach no ginachshav, the third line. Lefichach no ginachshav, shezeh ochal basar, shezeh ochal gvina. Somebody's having meat and somebody's having cheese on one table. Manichim lechem okankan uchtar kelim. Lafsik bein tayin. Lechal mapa acher to have it in state pizza. So you have two solutions here. One, I think Tony brought up, could eat on two separate tablecloths or put a different placemat or something like that. That's one solution. Even if we know each other, Shulchan Aruch is going to say that explicitly. Even if we know each other, you're eating on two different tablecloths, you're good. Or you put, let's say, like a pitcher, a bottle, even bread that would not normally be there that demonstrates that we're not supposed to eat from each other. It also comes up in Hilchos Nida, the husband and wife who are eating together, but they're not allowed to eat from each other's food. So you have to have something as a recognition, to remind you not to eat from each other. So it'd be the same thing here also, that since you can't eat from each other's food, as long as you have a hacker, you have something that reminds you not to eat from the other, so then you're allowed to eat on the same table. So the Shulchan Aruch says, in verse 28, that hada asur la'alot al shulchan, when it's forbidden to bring the cheese and meat on the same table, davka b'shnei b'nei adam ha'makirim zedzeh. This is two people recognize each other. Afilu himakpinim zelzeh. So you have kamsa and bar kamsa who hate each other sitting at the same table. They would never, they hate each other, never eat from the same food, so they still have to be careful. But two people who don't know each other, they're allowed to lechapchila eat cheese and meat at the same table. But even people who know each other, im atzu shum heker, they make some sort of recognition. One's eating on their own tablecloth, their own placemat. Or they have something as a sign, such as bread or a pitcher separating, so then fine. Rama goes on to say that has to be, if you're going to use bread as the hecker, it has to be bread that you're obviously not eating from, or if you're going to use like a pitcher, a vessel, it has to be, well, so I think with a pitcher, actually, even if you're going to use it, that's actually allowed. And he also brings the idea of putting a lamp on the table that serves as a separation. So that's what we have from the Shulchan Aruch. So, okay, so it's a sort page 82, source 29. The Taz explains, "I know gam kein b'makom shebelav hakri loy tam inora omedet sham im lo kein have lo have hakri." So we're going to put a lamp on the table. It has to be again like something that stands out that you wouldn't normally have, because it has to be something that actually signifies that you're not supposed to eat from each other. The Piskei Tshuva in source 30 explains that if people are sitting at a distance from each other, that you're not going to eat. So for everybody, even if you know each other, you're allowed to eat at the same table because you're not going to reach for each other's food, right? So on this base measures table, let's say if I was sitting over here and Joseph is sitting over there and I'm having pizza and he's having a burger, so we don't have to worry because we're not, we're too far away from each other. Okay. So a question comes up. Let's say somebody, I'm not actually eating right now, but I ate a burger an hour ago and Simcha is sitting here having pizza. So am I allowed to sit at the same table as him? Because I'm not going to eat basar b'chalav right together at the same moment, but I'm still not allowed to eat. I'm not allowed to have that pizza. So is that a problem? So Prima Gadam says, source 32, page 83, person shouldn't sit near somebody's having cheese in case they might have it. But the Prima Gadam says, but people don't really do that. And also, Gam have a zera like zera. Because in the first place, waiting is, talk about the Isser D'oraisa, right? So having, it would be cooking the burger and the cheese together, that's the Isser, and eating it, that's the Isser D'oraisa, right? But waiting is itself a decree to make sure that I don't, it is its own decree. And then this whole idea that I shouldn't sit at the same table with somebody who's eating dairy while I'm waiting for my time to expire. So that's a little bit excessive. The Prima Gaudium says that you don't have to really. Okay. So we'll go on to talk about placing meat and dairy in one container. Let's say the fridge. This is some of the questions that came up before. And maybe we'll stop after that and we'll finish off this section next week. So placing meat and dairy in one container. So Shulchan Aruch says, "Mutar l'tein b'toch teva kad shel basar itzol shel kalav." So in one cabinet and in the fridge, more common example. So I can place a container with meat next to a container containing dairy. So Taz explains, source 34, the reason for this is the basar im kalav zehiri inche shelo yipol zem yidelazem. So generally speaking, we're careful that we're not going to arrange the containers in a way that one's going to fall into another. So that's interesting in terms of sort of the shopping example. So it seems like as long as something that can be tricky, I guess, is like when you buy like, let's say, chicken meat, sometimes there's like meat residue. So that could be a concern. But if your cheese is, you know, your cheese is covered, it's sealed tight. So you're not going to really have very much to be concerned about.
The biggest concern is those milk containers, I'm telling you.
Let's say like this. Let's say you have the milk container where it might leak and you have the juicy cholen meat. So maybe there you have to be a little bit more careful to make sure they're not, you know, right next to each other.
Even in the fridge.
But technically speaking, putting them in the same shopping cart when is not a problem. Rama says some are machmir, better, you know, if you can, there's no need to, better to be strict. But the Shach, the Sifte Kohen, it's important to know the Shach is one of the important commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch section of Yeridah. So in source 36 on page 84, he says, Dafka b'mugul. So when do I have to really be careful? When things are uncovered. So if I'm putting things in the fridge and I have meat that's covered in dairy that's uncovered, you know, on different shelves and whatnot. So then I might have to be a little bit concerned. But when things are closed, they're sealed. Especially, you have to think, nowadays, you know, when we buy things, really, like, we buy things in sealed containers. It probably wasn't as common previously. But the fact that we buy things in sealed containers probably have a lot to rely on. So Yaakov Yosef, Rav Avadya Yosef, says about fridges, you can put food items in the fridge. You could have a vessel that has a pot or something that has meat in it. You can put it next to a container that has dairy. You don't have to worry that they're going to mix, that they're going to fall from one to another. People are careful to place them properly. If you accidentally put them together, so certainly don't have a problem. But then in number four, that's three and four. So number four, Dalit, he says, Hashir Tana Laniach Makar Mitzarka Bas Arlaya Mitzarka Falos, you know, Rat Imha Mitzarka Machusin. That's only if they're covered. Eladad Maran Yishla Kel Lazagam Mitzarka Mugin. So even if they are, even if they're open, so for Sfardim who follow strictly Rav Yosef Karo, Sfardim posted for the Shulchan Aruch. So even if technically speaking, even if they're open, it's permitted. But Rav Avadya says that it's better to make sure they're covered. Okay, so when we're putting a lasagna and chicken in the fridge, so you want it, so they're covered, you don't have a problem. Fine.
I think brings
up. Does it matter when you put it in the refrigerator if they're hot? Because you might put the lasagna out of the oven directly into the fridge refrigerator. So they may not be cold.
No, it has to be cold.
Okay. But sometimes, you know, food like you're putting away is not completely cold.
Well, that's a
good question. I don't think we'd have to be concerned that, like, again, it's probably just better. I think once it's covered, you're not going to have a problem. In general, I think we're, you know, for many reasons, just to preserve the freshness, better to cover it. So I would say cover it. Okay, so Sefer HaKashrus, which we introduced last week, 2 weeks ago, it's a Halachic Digest by Yitzchak Yaakov Fuchs. He says, "Mutar laniach zav tzadik kli arit askurim heitem." You can place silver utensils or containers. Yesh b'tokam chalav b'sari afilu shneim b'kupsa achad. Even if they're in one large container, same shelf. But you should make sure that they are closed, closed well. Then it goes on in source 39 to say, it's recommended to concentrate all of the dairy products in a separate drawer or special container to ensure that milk or other milk products do not drip onto other foods or utensils in the fridge. So Herb's concerned about the milk dripping. So he says maybe better to put them, you know, have your dairy, you know, put your cheese in your cheese container and, I don't know.
But if it does drip and it's cold, you can wash things off, right?
Yeah, because so that's where we would say if it really comes in contact. But again, you know, we're talking about like that, like the milk, you know, the milk drips and the meat was uncovered. When it's covered, you can assume that it didn't come in contact. But here when we're talking about things that are cold, so you can rinse them off. He says one must also be accustomed not to place foods directly or in uncovered utensils on the upper shelf of the fridge or the freezer. Likewise, one should not place exposed food on the lower shelf. So here, just taking extra precaution. Interesting case that I remember hearing in Shir. Rabbi Weider said that this question was asked of Schachter once, that there was chocolate and deli turkey in the fridge. And the turkey tasted like someone ate turkey and it tasted like chocolate. So is that a busted up? So it wasn't cooked. It didn't come directly in contact. Rosh Hashanah said, if it has a taste, it has a taste. It's forbidden. So, you know, you look at this fridge stuff, and again, like nowadays, most of us cover our stuff, and you know, what's going to really happen? So, it's not entirely far fetched. There's what to be concerned about, but
can you explain that? Right. If the
No, but there's actual taste in the turkey. So like it would stop eating the turkey because like, I mean, unless you can ascertain that it, you know, because the turkey and the chocolate, I don't think came directly in contact, which is somehow the, or maybe they were in contact, but. No, I think it was talking about deli turkey, which
it absorbed the smell of the chocolate. Kind of.
It sounds strange to me, but it happened.
No, I've seen things. I've tasted things that have absorbed things. I have a question. I had a tin of chicken this happened years ago, that was totally covered, one sheet of aluminum foil, and a milk container on the shelf above dripped all over the aluminum foil. I threw it out. I could have just washed off this chicken. I mean, it makes me nauseous. Yeah? I wouldn't have technically.
Again, if you taste it and you're like this, then you know that's something different. But the chicken was covered. I don't think I would have poked it right out. Mm-hmm. But it does speak to, you know, the concern that's brought here, that you know, that the things that might drip maybe should be farther down, and certainly don't put anything that's exposed on the bottom shelf.
I ask something a little? I'm sorry. You know when you go to Costco and you try to avoid the mystery wet spots on the conveyor belt when you're putting your stuff down? So the fruit containers have little holes in the bottom of them. And, you know, I try to keep in the wagon, whatever. I try to avoid the wet spots. And inevitably, the people, you know, the cashier plunks it down on a wet spot. So I just wash the fruit like crazy, right? Because I don't know, like, what if that was Costco chicken water? You know, it's just...
Yeah, I guess washing it off would be the best that you can do there. Yeah. And probably not, I don't know.
You have the problem on Pesach a lot.
Tony, do you have a question?
I don't understand this last paragraph on page 85. Why do you have to not place foods directly or in uncovered utensils on the upper shelves? Why can't I put, I mean, I don't put uncovered foods anywhere, but why wouldn't I be able to put it on the top? Why do I have to put it on the bottom?
It says not placing foods directly.
Does anybody understand that?
I
think
so. One more.
So, I guess the way we're doing Reddit, I think I
was on top. Oh,
what?
Maybe they're worried it'll drip down from the top to the other.
Talking
shelf?
About things that might drip or things that are uncovered.
If it spills because it's not covered, it'll pour over everything on all the shelves.
Okay.
I guess can't entirely avoid the top shelf. But just be mindful of it. Okay, so we'll continue next week with this last part, and maybe we'll move on to the beginning of the next Sheila, for your time. But thanks everyone for joining, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a great weekend.
Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
You too. You all too.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye.